Grace to you and welcome to the DDP for the 31st of March. I'm Paul White. We are in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. A lot of stuff's happening in this verse, but one place that I was just impressed to start with before I began today was the sheer joy we should have in realizing that the fullness of the time had come. Timed up on man trying to determine his righteousness based upon his performance. God had enough of it. The fullness of time. This is a statement as in that period is over. We have moved on to something else. When we return in our words and our deeds and our doctrine to a time that has been fulfilled, we are not only insulting how that time was fulfilled, but we are cheating the time we live in because we're not living according to the grace given in this hour. Instead, we're trying to live according to our own performance. So Paul says, when the fullness of the time had come, some Bible scholars connect this back, and I like this connection. I find it fascinating. Connect this back to the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, just a quick backdrop on what's happening. Jacob is dying and gives last words to his sons, laying hands on his sons and prophesying over them. This is an important thing you get to do, by the way, as an elder of your children and your grandchildren, is to speak into their lives. It's not just about giving them rules, regulations. It's not even simply about providing for them financially. All of those things may be well and good, but how many of us are actually speaking into the lives of the people put into our charge? Genesis 49:10, when Jacob begins to pray for Judah, he actually starts praying for him in verse 8. But listen to verse 10. The scepter, this is a symbol of kingship, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And this is an interesting statement. Jesus is never called Shiloh, but Jesus is from the tribe of Judah, and Shiloh is peace. Jesus comes as the Prince of Peace, and he's the end of the lawgiving. When Shiloh comes, that's it. Jesus comes in fulfillment of that prophecy, that old Genesis 49:10 prophecy. Paul says it, Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, the Greek there, made of a woman, and made or born under the law. It's important that we recognize that there's not this cosmic God in heaven with this formless son next to him. These are concepts of God that help us to relate to who God is. That God is a father, God is a son, God is a spirit. I don't see this as a difficult sort of three-headed God kind of thing that some people try to make it out to be. I think that's us reading our literature into their literature. God comes as a son. He has to do it this way so that he can be a recreated Adam, so that he can be that last Adam. So God comes born of a woman, born under the law, and being born under the law is a crucial part of the incarnation because by being born under the law, Jesus is born under the same set of guidelines and restrictions that the people are under, of which he is saving. How can he save them if he hasn't been born into their disaster? How can he dispel a chaos he can't touch? So Jesus comes born under the law, thus he can fulfill the law. And this is Paul finishing off a thought he started way back in chapter 3. Jesus came as the blessing of Abraham. He came and took the curse against Abraham. He came fulfilling the law. He came taking care of everything the law demanded. But to do so, he needed to be born under that law. You and I weren't born under that law, not in the way that Jesus was. Born under the law, verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now, we'll talk about adoption more, probably starting tomorrow, but I want to deal with that front half of verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law. They needed redeemed, they needed bought back, because the law owned them. The law owned their performance. The law owned their path to blessing. The law owned their inevitable path to cursing. Do it, get blessed. Don't do it, get cursed. Sometimes they could move into the blessing. Most of the time they could easily move into the curse. The law owned them. They had to be purchased. They had to be bought back. So Jesus came to redeem those who were under the law. Let's look at it through the gospel lens. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Jesus says this about himself. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. What a statement. I mean, you could stay on that front half forever. He didn't come to serve, but to serve. That's not even the way we think about Jesus. We think, well, we ought to be serving the Lord. And while that may be well and good, Jesus didn't come for people to serve him. He came to serve people. And part of his service of people is to give his life as a ransom for many. It's to take into him the results of our missing the mark, the results of all of our chaotic decisions, and he buys us out of the slavery of being, and now I'm back in Galatians 4:5, under the law. So you're no longer under the law. Paul releases us through his theology of the book of Romans when he talks about those who are under the law versus those who are not under the law. And we know that we're not under the law, because we're under God's grace. You can take so much of what Paul is saying, and I know this kind of goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. It's what study's all about. You can take so much of what Paul's saying in Galatians 4 and connect it to what Paul says in Romans 6, some of it 7, some of it 8, and with you need both of them. They sort of give a complete picture of some of these things that might be a little bit incomplete without them. And I highly encourage, as you work through Galatians, to work simultaneously, particularly through Romans, starting about 5, and work Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. Anybody teaching the book of Galatians would benefit from a side excursion into, I think, Romans 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Those five chapters are a complement to Galatians chapter 3 and Galatians chapter 4 in so many ways. All right, tomorrow we're going to talk more about the latter half of Galatians 4, 5, where we receive the adoption as sons. We'll start the month of April together. We'll see you then. God bless.